Welcome to How Preschool Teachers Do It.
This is Allison Kentos. I am an early childhood educator.
And this is Cindy Terabush. I am an early childhood consultant.
This podcast is for parents and early childhood professionals.
Let our experience and research-based knowledge become your guide. Hey, preschool peeps.
Hi, peeps.
We are here today to talk about confidence. So we're going to just exude confidence.
Yes,
how about that?
That's right.
Something we don't always exude.
True. Yeah. Very true.
But we're certainly going to work on it.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about the importance of building confidence in young children. Confidence is required in order to really succeed at anything, pretty much. You have to have some confidence, because the truth is that young children, all of us and young children, are hesitant to try hard, to exert ourselves the most, to take reasonable risks if we're not feeling confident.
Yeah.
You know, I think about, like, there are certain physical activities where I don't feel confident. So I'm far less apt to do like a certain sport or something.
Right. Right.
Like, let's say bowling, if I know that I'm the sort of person who needs the bumpers up.
Yeah.
So I'm far less apt to take myself and go bowling.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like with the children too. They're far less apt to try something new, whatever it is, if they're feeling like they don't have confidence. And there are strategies, there are ways that we can help children to have confidence in themselves and their own abilities.
Yeah. Especially with like little kids where like a lot of things are new. A lot of things are new to them. So like you gotta build their confidence so they'll try some. They probably do at least 10 new things every day, I would think. A lot of them.
Oh my gosh, you know? Probably
like
more.
Maybe more. Yeah.
They're probably introduced to more.
Yeah.
And it takes, when think about being a young child, think about how brave these children have to be to step out into the world every day and to come into your space every day and, you know, into these group early childhood settings every day and, you know, kind of put themselves out there. I think it takes some modicum of guts and bravery.
And I feel like when I was a kid, everything was more teacher directed, you know what I mean? Which I was much better at. If I had to walk into a more child directed environment, I don't know if I had the confidence to do that back then. You know, now I could, but like, so these kids walk
back
into
then?
Back then, no, there's no way. So like these kids, I give them credit for being brave every day for just walking into an environment like that every single day, you know?
It's true. It's true. Yeah. So let's talk about some strategies that our preschool peeps could incorporate. We have to give young children things they can simply succeed at. Not everything we give them needs to pose a new challenge.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to give them things we know they can already do, that we know they already know and can answer. As we just said, they're always being bombarded with new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And when sometimes I can ask them a question or give them something to do without saying to them, oh, you already know this, but just let them do
just
it.
Just let them do it.
Just let them show it. Right. That every time we succeed, we build confidence as human beings. It takes multiple successes at something to build your confidence. The first time you go and do something and succeed at it, you're still not so sure. You're thinking, well, this is the first time. This is the first time I got this right. Next time I might not
be.
Could be a fluke. I'm not so sure. I've done things one time before and then it didn't work out the next time. So they have to do things, multiple successful things, multiple times in order to start to build a sense of their own capability. And by the way, building a sense of their own capability is one of the primary tasks of what young children do psychologically. One of the primary questions they're trying to answer psychologically in the early childhood years, according to Eric Erickson, is, am I capable? Eric Erickson was the theorist who came up with the psychosocial stages of development. To teach them they are capable, they have to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so we can't always gamble on their success. Sometimes you give them something they don't need your help with that they can do consistently and independently and just let it lie there. Yes. Sometimes I'm going to scaffold their learning. I'm always going to start with what they already know. That gives them a base of confidence and then build on that.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm introducing something new, that's right. Scaffolding. We're always yeah. trying to scaffold. We're not taking things out of thin air like may have been done with us when we were students and just tossing it at them
yep.
and saying good yep. luck with that.
That's why we're
connecting. We
have less confidence.
Right? It is, well, there are many reasons. Wait, I haven't gone through the whole strategy list yet. So sometimes we're going to simply give them something they can succeed at without having to extend it.
Right.
We also, when they do succeed, need to consistently provide them with affirmations, specific and detailed affirmations. I appreciate the way you pushed in that chair. You did that so well. Now nobody's going to get hurt walking yes. by.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The way you walked in the hall was terrific. You walked slowly. You were careful around the other people and you left space
yeah.
with the person in front of you. That's great.
Yeah.
These really specific affirmations. We are very, I can't even speak now. We are very busy people in right. early childhood education. And I think that we try to acknowledge what children are doing well. I also, in my observations, think we don't do it often enough.
Right. Because I think you hit the nail on the head right there. We are really busy and there's a lot of things going on all at once. And you're multitasking all day long as a teacher. And it's very quick to be like, okay, guys, good job, but not be specific, you know? And the kids might be like, good job for what? Good job. What did I do? But if you're very specific about the affirmation, like Cindy's saying, like, wow, you guys really left space between each other and you walk quietly and slowly in the hallway so we wouldn't get hurt and or we wouldn't disturb the other classrooms. Now they're not like, oh, that's a good job in the hallway. But just randomly throwing out there, hey, good job, guys. They're like, For what? Me just standing here? Like, for what? Like, you know, but if you're specific, then you'll see, like, oh, she said that we were good last time. Let's try to do it again, you know? And then, you know, so like, I think you have to be very, very specific. But it is very easy to be like, good job, because you know, you're busy and tired mm-hmm. and, you know, like, so.
It's also very easy to just miss it, right? So we, yeah. we can't you're see
gonna,
everything.
You're not going to see everything. Yeah.
We're not going to see everything that happens. So when something does happen and we've seen it, we have to say out loud that we saw it.
You have to say it. Yeah.
I think it goes back to the more they succeed, the more confidence they have. And now I'm acknowledging all your success out loud all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Another thing that we have to do is foster their creativity. We've talked about this in other episodes, but I think we have to mention it here. The more we allow them to create, the more they gain confidence in their own abilities and skills.
Yes.
I don't have to think of everything. I don't have to give them ideas all the time. I don't have to guide them all the time. They can pursue a variety of creative things, ideas, mm-hmm. and actions that still come out their own heads, right? So
yes.
they can be creative in the dramatic play area. They can be creative in the block area. They can be creative in the art area. They can be creative if you have a writing area. They can be creative on technology, and that's a good use of technology.
Yeah.
They can be creative all over the room if
right.
we would give them the space to do that and realize we don't need to directly instruct them all the time and we don't need to guide them all the time. Instead, we should be bouncing off of what they do, because when yes. they are leaders – and they realize I can lead a little bit. Again, yeah. it boosts their self-worth and their
yeah.
confidence.
But I think that's so hard sometimes for teachers to do that, because that takes a lot of letting go, you know, where
yes.
it's like teachers often want to like, they're like, well, if I can control this, then I know the learning's happening. Whereas for me, I'm like, yeah, just go do your thing, guys. And I'll come around. You know what I mean? And like, see, you got to kind of let it go. And then you'll discover that they're learning all the time and they're leading all these, some ideas all on their own. You know, they don't need you. And that builds their confidence to be like, hey, I don't need the teacher or the adult all the time. I can do this on my own. Look, I'm doing this. You know, I'm building this structure and with a couple classmates and it's working, right. You know?
There are other ways that we can see the results of our teaching. We may discuss that on Patreon in the future,
yeah.
The specifics of the results of teaching, because we need to let go of the notion that I need to observe the results of what I have done all the time. I need to observe the results of what they do too. So again, we'll Patreon that maybe.
Yeah.
That's that sort of topic. Here's another one. And I do this with adults. When I'm speaking to an adult and I think they're telling me something and I think there's another point of view, there's another perspective, there's another way to do this, there's another way to go about it, I may start off with something about what they said and potentially I could use the word but in there, but instead I don't. I use the word and. And one of the pieces of advice for talking with people so that they build confidence is to use the word and, like improv.
Yeah.
You know, when people are doing improv comedy, their focus is, okay, what you did, and then they do something else, right? Yeah. Or they suggest something else.
Yeah, like in improv, they're always building on each other's ideas. Right. There's never a like we're getting rid of your idea. We're just they're adding to it, which is kind of what you want. You want that collaboration in the classroom, you know, amongst teachers and amongst students.
Right.
That collaboration.
So instead of negating, you're collaborating. When we say but, we negate. When a child states an idea and we say something to them, even like that's not going to work.
Right.
We're negating with them and what they've done. Instead, we should start, I know it's not grammatically correct, but if a child says something that we know isn't going to work, my next sentence should be, and we could look at this, and we make another suggestion.
Yeah.
Right? And we could try that, and we add our suggestion. But whenever we think to ourselves, I have a better way, or I think there's another perspective, or that's not going to work, start it with and instead of nothing or but, instead of just going into what you're going to do.
Right.
And so,
I feel like when a student comes to you with their idea, and we're adults, so we know that some of these ideas are not going to work, right? But like, I don't really ever tell them like, but that's not going to work. Let's do it differently. I'd be like, let's go find out if it's going to work and let them do their idea. Fully like envision it and do it and perform it and let them discover that, hey, this didn't work. And then when it doesn't work, then go up to them and say, and let's try this. Have you thought about this? Or do you have ideas of how this might work differently? I sometimes won't even give them my ideas because I know how to make it work. I've been here for so many years on the earth. I know how to make it work. I want them to start thinking like, how can I make this work? You know, maybe if I built this building, this structure differently with different blocks here, it would stand up high. But I want them to come up with that idea, you know? So I might just say, have you tried different blocks? You know, like, have you thought about different blocks? Which blocks do you want to try? I wouldn't even tell them which one. I'd be like, you try it, then try it again and keep trying it until it succeeds.
So let's say they're using blocks.
Yeah.
And they pick a block we know isn't going to work. The thing's going to fall down, right?
Yeah.
So they take their block and we let them try it because it is important to let them try their ideas. We let them try it. It falls down. Children generally get upset at that point.
Yep.
At that point, I could say to them, and we could try another block.
Yeah.
I haven't negated what they just did.
Right.
I've said to them, okay, and maybe we should think another way. And again, that is like improv. And maybe we should think another way. If you've watched improv, you see one person starts with an idea and it goes in a thousand different directions because they just and it and they add to it and they change it.
Yeah.
So the word and, folks, and again, it's magic with adults. When you need an adult to think differently about something and you say and instead of but, you get a lot more.
Yeah.
I have saved the hardest tip for last.
Okay.
If you're on YouTube, you may have seen me looking down. I'm actually looking at my notes, and I purposely skipped one. That's why I hesitated for a second. The hardest one, I think, for many people is modeling confidence ourselves.
Well, that's true, because we as adults aren't always confident in what we are doing. But I think we've talked before of like, you kind of have to fake it till you make it kind of thing with kids. Like we've had episodes about like, even if you're anxious about the first day of school, you got to pretend that you're not. And I think like, and then once you start faking it, you really aren't, eventually you're not faking it anymore. You just have it sometimes, you know, but that is, it's very, very hard to model the confidence to kids.
And, you know, I think modeling confidence is more than just, come on, I'll take you over to the firefighter who you don't know. That's yeah. not an in-depth modeling of confidence.
Yeah.
It's you trying something in front of the children that you yeah. all have not done before and doing it confidently, like yeah. some sort of science experiment, you know, or even talking to children about, you know, I had to try something new. New things yeah. can be scary, but I was really brave and I did it. Yeah. And here's what happened.
Yeah.
But I also think we should do things with children like science experiments where we're not sure how it's going to turn out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Because I like to tell the kids that I don't have all the answers. A lot of children think like, oh, she's a teacher. She knows everything. No, I don't. You know, so I like to do these experiments that I'm like, I've never done this before. Let's try it. You know what I mean? And see how it comes out. Because they'll ask me, well, how's it going to turn? I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it. You know, let's just, you just got to try and see and theorize with them and do all that thing. I think also the modeling of confidence comes in of like, when I go into my classroom, I'm very much still myself. You know, minus a few other like adult things that I wouldn't do in front of children. But for the most part, I'm just myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go in there like swearing in front of them or anything like that. But like, but I very much am myself. And so I want them to see like, I am a confident person. I love myself. I love who I am. I love who I've become. And I think right. that can kind of rub off on them too, that they value you being yourself. So then they start to be like, oh, I should love who I am too. And all my quirks and faults and differences and things like right. that, you know?
Right. So like be your quirky self, folks, be your quirky self.
Yeah.
And I think it teaches children it's okay to be who you are. Yeah. And that's a way that we model confidence just by yeah. being us in an early childhood appropriate
way. Yes, in an appropriate way. And I also very much will like make mistakes in front of them and tell them my faults. Like I tell them, like, I'm very forgetful, you know, and I tell them all mm-hmm. the time, like, oh, I forgot because I'm a human being and I forget sometimes too, just like you guys do. And that's okay, you know, but I'm right. going to correct it by now remembering and doing it, or I made a mistake. You know, look, I made a mistake. I will point out all of my mistakes. I made a mistake. Oh, look, I goofed. Oops, that's okay. You know, but look, yeah. I moved
everybody
on.
Makes right. mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes, yeah. but I'm not going to let it ruin my day kind of thing. I'm just going to move on, or I'm going to ask a classmate to help me. I'm going to ask my teachers to help me, and then we're going to move on. And that's okay, because I don't want them to see like, oh, making a mistake is a failure and now my whole day is ruined. No, it's okay. This is how we
live. I also think that it shows confidence when we own what we're not good at.
Yes.
And right. So there are times when, I don't know, I've had students who do things like take gymnastics lessons or have a party at a gymnastics thing. And I will very confidently look at them and say, I was never good at that. I think yes. it's so good that you were good at that. Yes. Because what we're showing them is, even though I can't do everything and even though I'm not good at everything, I still have confidence in myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are, I acknowledge out loud to young children sometimes the things that I will never master and the things right. that I'm never really going to be good at. And that's okay. I'm still a worthy human being.
Yeah.
That's what children need to know yeah. ultimately. You're still capable. You're still worthy. It doesn't matter. And yep. there are skills that we in our lifetimes never, ever master. I will never be, a great dancer. I will never be a great painter. I will never be certain things.
Right.
The children need to know that that's okay.
It's
that
okay.
There are things we all struggle with, but that doesn't mean that you aren't able and capable and can do other things, and you should have confidence.
Right. Because I think there's this notion that you're supposed to like be good at everything and master everything. And that's just not true, because look at adults, like there's people who are really, really awesome artists. That's mm-hmm. not me. I'm pretty creative, but not artistic, and that's okay. And like, I don't have to be a master of all things to be good at being a human being, or I don't have to be a master at all things. All I have to do is just be happy with what I am good at and accept what I'm not good at. You know what I mean? Or maybe I might not be a master painter, but maybe one day I'm going to try painting, or something.
Right.
I'm going to still try. Might not be great at it, but I'm going to try. And if the kids see you trying, then they're like, oh, look, she's not good at it. Look at that. That's a horrible painting, Miss Allison, but I had fun doing it. I don't care. It's not the best painting, but I had fun doing it and I tried, and that's the most important thing.
Right.
I don't have to master it.
Right.
They
do not have to master it.
Yeah.
That's something they don't know, because everything is presented to them in a way that seems to indicate that, oh, you should be able to do this.
You should be able to do this. Yes.
You should be able to learn this, and you should be able to do this.
Yeah.
It's okay for children to know that, as they get more into especially the school age years, it's okay if math isn't your strongest subject, or if language arts isn't your strongest subject. It's okay if there's something that you may struggle a little more with and there are other things you excel at, and it's okay. Yeah. Every child has gifts. Every child has things they're never going to really be great at. So be it. Exactly. And they should know that's fine. And we model it when we say, you do that so well. I can't do that. I think it's great you can do that.
Yeah.
And then we march through our day showing that we're not smaller and we're not diminished.
Right.
Right. Right. So I hope that as you all interact with children, you will think about some of these strategies, maybe enhancing ones you've used before or adding ones that you have not and practicing them, and see what it does for your interactions with the children and the adults around you and your coworkers. I think it helps everyone.
Yeah.
Before we talk about the top locations on our list so that you all can see if you're one of them, I'm going to mention two things. One is, if you happen to be watching us on YouTube, please subscribe and like.
Yes.
We would love that.
We would love that.
Also, if you want bonus content, connections to us and each other, fast replies to your questions, maybe even some merchandise, all that sort of thing, check out our Patreon, Patreon, Patreon. Go to Patreon, look for us. You can also go to our website, How Preschool Teachers Do It, and find the link to the Patreon. That Patreon will allow us to expand what we're already doing. So we encourage you to do that. I feel like there's just so much more support that people need and maybe want, and we're kind of stuck now. So help us unstick and provide that extra support. Okay. So around the world and around the country that we're in, the United States, first around the world, for the first time in our top three, Hong Kong beat out other English speaking countries that tend to be in our top five, knocked them out of the top three. So thank you, those of you in Hong Kong who are listening.
Yeah.
And we have a new state in the United States in our top ratings for listeners, Colorado.
Oh, hello, Colorado.
Colorado is now there.
Yeah.
I have done one of those very quick visits to Denver. You have to go to the airport there sometimes. So I've had time to kind of maybe venture out of the airport in Denver a little bit and go back to the airport. But I have not spent nearly enough time in Colorado. So maybe I will get there
sometime. I heard it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I've never been there, but I've heard it's beautiful there.
I'll tell you what, it's even beautiful to like fly into there and spend a little
time. Oh, I bet with the mountains there. Oh.
Yeah.
It must be beautiful. Yeah.
And I'm a mountain person. I love the mountains.
Yeah, I love
the mountains.
I've got
to get myself there.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone in Hong Kong, Colorado. Tell your friends and neighbors. If you are already being shouted out, that you want to be shouted out again, or if you're not being shouted out, you need to get some people to become preschool peeps in this podcast. Okay, folks, we are grateful for you, our preschool peeps, and we will catch you next time on the podcast.
Bye, peeps.